Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Agent Spotlight, a special edition of the Power Is Now online radio. My name is Eric Lawrence Frazier. Thank you for joining us today online and on the telephone. It's another beautiful day in Southern California and a great day to be talking about real estate with Bob Zachmeyer, real estate professional out of Tucson, Arizona with Win 3 Realty. I'm excited about this interview and the great things we're going to learn from Bob. Today's show is being sponsored by Prime Lending, a Plains Capital company. Folks, I'm a production manager for Prime Lending, and I want to encourage you to reach out to me. Work with me. Please contact me by phone at 800-261-1634, extension 703, or by email at eric.frazier@primelending.com. If you need a pre-approval or to consult with me about a transaction, please call or email me and put my 31 years of experience to work for you. I also have a partner. Her name is Jessie Lee. And Jessie speaks Spanish and Chinese fluently, speaks and writes Spanish and Chinese fluently. So if you have language needs, we can help you. Jessie has 23 years of lending experience. And so contact the Frazier team with Eric Frazier and Jessie Lee here at Prime Lending. Go to our website, thedoitnowteam.com, and for all the contact information to reach out to us or to start a pre-approval application. Prime Lending, a nationwide bank. Go to primelending.com and locate a mortgage consultant in your area and tell them that Eric Frazier at The Power Is Now sent you. Well, we're just a few minutes away to start the interview. Please tell your friends that if they want to learn more about this very successful agent and how he is making it happen, they should join The Power Is Now online or by telephone right now. For those of you who are new to The Power Is Now online radio, the name and slogan The Power Is Now suggests that we maximize our potential for success in business and life when we act on information and opportunities now. The present is our future, because the future is only a reflection of past decisions to act now. So what that means is that we are at our best and we maximize our success when we act now. That's our slogan, our theme of The Power Is Now. The Power Is Now online radio is an online radio network from which a series of teleconferences are created to empower, inspire, and educate consumers and real estate professionals about changes in the world of real estate and banking and finance and marketing and economics and government and anything else that can give real estate professionals and consumers the tools they need to be successful. Over 100,000 consumers and real estate professionals tune in every single month to listen to The Power Is Now, and we're very proud of that, folks. Please continue to listen to The Power Is Now and share the link with your friends and family on the great shows and programming that takes place here every single day. Well, we're about ready to get started with our interview with Bob Zachmeyer. Please take this opportunity while we go to commercial break to tell your agents in the office to get online or on the phone and listen to the show today. They will not be disappointed. Call, text, email your friends and buddies in the business and let them know that The Power Is Now is live on blogtalkradio.com/ The Power Is Now and the website thepowerisnow.com. We'll be right back right after this commercial break. Hello, everybody. This is Eric Frazier, host of The Power Is Now online radio. If you're looking for a real estate agent, well, you have come to the right place. One of the benefits of being a lender for 31 years and closing billions of dollars in volume and thousands of transactions in my career is that I've had the honor to meet and work with and personally know some of the best agents in the country. Seriously, folks, sitting in this seat as the host of The Power Is Now and being a mortgage banker for 31 years specializing in purchase transactions has afforded me the opportunity to meet and work with some of the best people, the most extraordinary real estate professionals in the industry. I am amazed at the talent out there in the real estate community, and I want you to know who these people are, and I want you to hire them as your trusted advisor. The VIP agent on The Power Is Now is a trusted advisor. Folks, you just can't write a check to The Power Is Now and become a VIP agent. It is by invitation only, and there is a vetting process and certification. A VIP agent is an experienced real estate professional that has the education, credentials, and closed transaction experience and the endorsement of The Power Is Now online radio. Why is it so important that you use a trusted advisor? Well, typically a trusted advisor is someone who has been referred to you, and they, that referrer, has personal knowledge and experience of working with that person. We do this all the time when it comes to medical challenges, our doctors, our attorneys who deal with our legal challenges, our accountants who deal with IRS and tax matters. We want experienced people, and we want them ideally referred to us by someone who knows them and has worked with them. Well, folks, that's what a VIP agent is, a trusted advisor endorsed and personally known by yours truly, Eric Frazier. The Power Is Now online radio is committed to providing our listeners access to the very best real estate agents in their marketplace. We want to save you time and money to find a great, reputable real estate agent. There are thousands of you out there who are listening to this show every single month, and we want to make sure that you benefit from this show by not only learning great things about real estate, but working with the very people we bring on this show and that we have selected to be VIP agents. VIP agents have certifications and experience in all aspects of selling real estate and representing buyers in traditional sales, short sales, REOs, business opportunities, commercial real estate, and even more. And again, these individuals have been interviewed, have been vetted, and they are endorsed by The Power Is Now. The VIP agent certification process involves a verification of their license status within their state, a criminal and civil background check in case there's any type of litigation going on with that agent, you should know about it, verification of their standing in the local board, verification of their experience through verifying closed transactions in their local MLS, verification of references from closed transactions, and acceptance of The Power Is Now Code of Ethics. VIP agents, trusted advisors, endorsed and certified by The Power Is Now. Consider using a VIP agent on your next transaction. And if you would like for me to make a personal introduction, please reach out to me. Contact me directly here on The Power Is Now, and I'll be happy to introduce you personally to every VIP agent that you want to work with in the given market if you're an investor, or in your neighborhood if you're a homeowner and you're looking, or a buyer looking to buy something where you live. I'll be happy to make a personal recommendation, a personal connection with you and the VIP agent. Have an awesome day. Thank you for listening to The Power Is Now online radio. And we're back. Welcome to the Power Agent Spotlight. I'm really excited about our guest today. He is very well established in real estate, very well known in real estate for being an author and also a real estate professional, doing lots of business and helping many people and other nonprofit organizations. Folks, I'm going to get into the details of his background in just a few minutes. But for those of you who are new to this particular segment, the Power Is Now Agent Spotlight, let me tell you about it. It is for real estate agents who stand out as the best of the best in the industry. These are real estate agents with years of experience and top performance. They have it all: professionalism, education, certification, and results. In every industry, there are the leaders and the followers, the doers and the talkers, the winners and the losers, and the real estate industry is no different. The Power Agent Spotlight celebrates the excellence of real estate professionals whose performance and business excellence makes them leaders and role models for real estate agents everywhere. Once a month, I interview experienced agents who are very successful and do it all. REOs, short sales, standard sales, commercial real estate, and even business opportunities. Now, if you are new to real estate and you are already performing like a seasoned pro, I would like to hear from you as well. Exceptions will be made for extraordinary agents who are new to the business. Today in the Spotlight, we're going to hear how Bob Zachmeyer got his start in real estate, the lessons he has learned, his triumphs and defeats, his tactics and strategies for success. We're going to hear about his journey in the real estate business and get some real advice on what it takes to make it to the top and to stay on top. So sit back and relax as we listen and learn from the best in the business right here on the Power Is Now online radio. We'll be right back on the Power Agent Spotlight. Hello, everybody. This is Eric Lawrence Frazier, host and executive producer of the Power Is Now online radio. Thank you for listening online and by telephone today to our program. In addition to being the host and executive producer of this show, I am also a mortgage banking professional, a production manager for Prime Lending, federal NMLS number 461807. I specialize in purchase transactions of all types. If you are a first-time homebuyer or investor, I can help you. If you need an FHA, VA, or a conventional loan, or any of the three types of loans in connection with a down payment assistance program, I can help you. It doesn't matter, folks. I love working on purchase transactions. The more complicated they are, the more excited I get. If your client is not sure if they're ready to buy, or if they want to know what they need to do to get ready to buy, have them contact me if you are a real estate professional. Of course, if you are a buyer, consumer, and you're looking to buy a home, please call me directly. I will be happy to give you great advice and instruction for free. It's what I do, and I love what I do. Finally, folks, if you are a real estate professional, thank you also for listening to the Power Is Now. If every transaction is important to you and your reputation is important to you, then it is imperative that you put your transaction in the capable hands of an experienced mortgage banking professional. If not me, someone like me. If you have been around long enough, then you already know what I'm saying is true. It's not interest rates or fees or even the company, because they're all the same and very close to each other in both interest rates and costs. Today, it's about experience, education, and professionalism, and I think that he has given me all three. Please contact me here at The Power Is Now at 1-800-261-1634, extension 703, or by email at eric.frazier@thepowerisnow.com. Thank you in advance for contacting me and considering me on your next transaction. Thank you for tuning in each week, every week, on The Power Is Now. Remember, the power is now. We are at our best, and we maximize our success when we act now. Act now and call me. And we're back. Thank you for joining us today on The Power Is Now. And if you're just joining us, welcome to the Power Agent Spotlight. Today in the Spotlight is Bob Zachmeyer. And we're going to learn a lot from Bob today because he brings a wealth of experience to real estate. And this is not the first time that Bob has been interviewed about his success and his track record in the business. Bob Zachmeyer is successful today due to the help of others. From the free swim lessons he received from the Red Cross as a youngster to the Scoutmaster who helped Bob obtain Eagle Scout, he hasn't forgotten the time and kindness volunteered by others. He's taught personal finance to 6th and 7th graders with the Junior Achievement Program, served on the board of directors for a children's church camp, Bob was president of the board for 3 years and has hosted fundraisers for children's charities in Tucson since 2009. He views every real estate transaction as an opportunity to make a new friend and develop a lifelong relationship and cast an insightful and positive light on nearly any situation. Bob Zachmeyer was born and raised in Mandan, North Dakota, the third of six children. He is no stranger to hard work and friendly competition. After graduating from North Dakota College of Science in 1980, Bob was hired by Texas Instruments and lived in 10 states, including Arizona, during his first 5 years of employment. For six bleak winters, Bob worked 18-hour days in the harsh climate of the North Slope of Alaska. In 1985, he traded the balmy Alaskan weather for the extreme heat, 130 degrees above, of the Australian outback. After a year in Australia, Bob transferred to a more conventional position in Dallas, Texas. He attended night classes at Laterno University and graduated cum laude with a Bachelor's of Science in Business Management. And in 1998, Bob and his wife, Camille, purchased a home and transferred to Tucson when Raytheon purchased their division from Texas Instruments. If anyone can appreciate Tucson's awesome weather and fantastic mountain views, it's Bob. Bob has an eye for opportunity and has the confidence to act on it. His greatest sell occurred at age 16 when he convinced his mother to allow the withdrawal of his college savings to open a fireworks stand. He quadrupled the money in 9 days and returned it to his account. The next year, Mom was a full partner. During the next 10 years, their seasonal family business helped to put Bob and his sisters through college and buy Mom some nice furniture. Bob purchased his first rental property at the age of 22 and has been a landlord since 1982. He bought and sold property in several states and has fine-tuned the process along the way. In 2001, he developed a course and began teaching others how to achieve financial freedom with rental property. Bob and his wife Camille retired from Raytheon at age 40 and 42 respectively. Thank you, Bob, for joining us today on the Power Is Now Agent Spotlight.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, Bob. You have an interesting background from the cold weather Alaska to the heat in Arizona. You have seen both sides of the extreme of weather, haven't you?
I sure have. And the transfer to Australia actually happened within 6 weeks of leaving Alaska, so that was more than 100-degree temperature difference.
Wow, that's amazing. What did your body go through in that transition? Because I know how I react when I go from cold to heat and then maybe back to cold.
Your body's an amazing thing. It acclimates to the surroundings. It didn't take the body as long as it took my mental state of being.
Well, Bob, great background here. And it sounds like real estate wasn't in the plan for you. Looking at your degree and looking at what you were doing at Texas Instrument, how did you actually get into selling real estate?
It was out of frustration, actually. When we transferred Tucson with Raytheon, I really did not like my job. We found a very political, several layers of management more than what we had had at our previous plant. We went from 4 layers of management to 11, and it was just sheer frustration. And then I was I'd always had rental properties since 1982. I've been a landlord at the ripe age of 22. That's what I used my oil field money on when I went to Alaska was rental properties. And I bought them in the wrong places. I bought them at the wrong time. I bought the wrong types of properties. I made every mistake you could possibly make. And I actually outlined all my mistakes in my first book, which was called Upside Up Real Estate rather than Upside Down Real Estate, like a lot of people have found themselves in lately. But when I was searching for properties, I would find them. I would do all the due diligence on them. I was looking for properties that had upside potential. I'm not one to just buy something and hope that the market goes up. I want to find something that I can do something to the property to make it increase in value rather than wait for appreciation to occur. So I would do all the work, and actually some of the real estate agents I used early on would actually follow me to the properties. And for opening the door, and you know, basically they would get paid, you know, $5,000 or $6,000. So it was my wife's idea: is why don't we get that money?
Well, I can understand that, especially since you are, you know, actively buying real estate. It just makes sense to get on the other side of the equation. So, Bob, but I'm curious. You're at 22 years of age. You're helping your mother start a fireworks stand. You're making money there, enough money not only to, you know, save money, but send other family members to college, including yourself. Where did you get this entrepreneurial spirit? I mean, where did this come from? And where did the desire even come to own real estate, that you could buy it and own it? Where did all this come from, Bob?
Well, the first thing, the fireworks, I was 16 years old when I got the firework started. As a junior in high school, I had billboards and I had radio commercials. So I think I was kind of made out to be a real estate agent at a very young age. But to answer your question, when you have five brothers and sisters and six kids within 7 years of one another, no twins, basically develop a very good negotiation skill to get time with your parents. And, you know, it's just, I've always been a wheeler dealer. I don't know why. It's just the way I am.
Well, that's great. You know, I come from a big family as well. In fact, I'm the oldest of seven, and I can appreciate a good negotiations. Well, Bob, one of the traditions we have on this show is to ask all of our guests, what does the phrase, the power is now, mean to you in the context of who you are as a real estate professional? And so share with us, you know, what does that phrase mean to you today, especially given the climate we're in politically, economically, real estate, and being an entrepreneur yourself, what does the power is now mean to you?
Okay, now is honestly the most exciting time to be in real estate since I've started in the market. I've never been more excited about the upside potential that we have. You know, there was a huge market share change back in 2008 when all of the REO happened, and the REO agents took market share in almost every major city in the country. REO agents were the number, you know, 1 through 20 top selling agents. Now that change is happening again, and it's going away from the REO agents. And the people that don't change, I mean, there are a lot of people jumped into REO because that's where the business was. Those are the only sellers that could afford to sell. But now the REO, the banks have figured out it's actually a much more convenient, more profitable, and simpler process to sell that property to hedge funds and let them buy it and do whatever they want to do with it. So the market's changed, but the best part is that people are moving up again. You know, for the last 5 years, we've seen people downsize because they were afraid of the economy, and now we're seeing people move up again, which means prices are going to go up. And, you know, I understand it's been a tough ride. Last year was a painful, painful year. I had the lowest, you know, price per property sold in any year that I've ever had in real estate, yet I still found a way to make a profit. So now if I can keep my expenses low, and every time I sell a home, it's going to be a more expensive home and more expensive and more expensive, I just see a huge opportunity to grow my business. And actually, I have a written goal this year to sell half as many houses and make four times as much money.
So now this is the greatest opportunity in your business in the time that you've been in the business that you've ever seen.
Correct.
Eric, I'm a numbers guy, so let me just share a number with you. There are 88,000 licensed real estate agents in the state of Arizona, and right now 30,000 of them, more than one in three, has their license inactive at the state. They don't know how to make money in this market.
That's incredible, Bob. And so what does that mean? Does that, I mean, 30,000, that's almost half of the agents in your market that are out of the business right now. What does that mean for the market?
Well, there's no inventory. It's very hard to find something to sell. And everybody blames it on the banks, but really the reason there's no inventory is our prices in Arizona fell by over half in some areas, and at least 40% in most. So the problem isn't the people holding back inventory at the bank. It's the normal homeowners that didn't put 40% down when they bought, and they can't afford to sell their home right now. So you have to be creative to find the sales and put a deal together. And when you couple with the stringent lending standards that are out there, anybody that's changed jobs in the last 2 years can't get a loan. Anybody that's self-employed can't get a loan. Anyone that's had a foreclosure or short sale can't get a loan. And just the foreclosure, 12 million people have been foreclosed on since 2005. When you add 14 million more who are at least 90 days delinquent on their loan, that's 26 million people. That's about one in every five homeowners that can't get a house right now because the bank has them waiting like a hockey player in the penalty box, you know, to buy a home for the next 2 to 5 years. So if you can find ways to get those people into houses, tremendous opportunity.
Well, Bob, you have really painted a very bleak picture for real estate right now. And it should be concerning to anyone in the profession that if they don't have a strategy to make money, they too may join that 30,000 whose licenses are inactive. And that's a challenge.
Correct.
But you have a solution for that, right?
I do.
So one of the things you do, in addition to being a real estate agent and broker owner, is you are an author, and you've written a number of books. Tell us about the two books you've written, and then after that, we're going to go into some of the details of how you not only got your start, and we know a little bit about that, but some of the experiences you enjoyed or didn't enjoy when you got your start full-time as a real estate professional.
As you mentioned in my bio, I taught a class. This was my name. Everybody, when they get into real estate, has a background. They came from somewhere that every one of us has had different life experiences. What you have to do is find a way to incorporate those into your real estate business. For me, I'd been a landlord since 1982. So it was just a natural that I would look for investors to sell homes to so that they wouldn't be frustrated. The real estate agents that I had helping me, I made them sound kind of, you know, like they weren't doing much, but it wasn't that they weren't good people or good real estate agents. It's that they didn't provide any value to me as an investor by offering the, what are the rents in this neighborhood? What are the, you know, what's the return on investment? How much, you know, what's the loan programs that you have available for investors? How much do you think I should put down? You know, those kind of things. When you're dealing with somebody who just sells houses to individual homeowners, they're not going to be able to answer all the questions that you would have as an investor. So this is where you find specialties where you can use your expertise to fill a void. And if you look at any major business in this country, they've either done one of three things. They made something cheaper, faster, or better. And so that's what I focus on, is trying to solve people's problems. So I saw that, you know what, I'm going to start teaching this class on how to, you know, sell real estate to mom and pop investors. Most investors, if they already have property, that means they already have a real estate agent. So my logic was, I'm going to teach people how to become landlords, and that way they wouldn't already have a real estate agent. So I put this class together, and it was a 5-week class about, first of all, why you would even want to own real estate, the type of properties you might want to buy, duplexes, you know, fourplexes, you know, condos, mobile home parks, land, just, you know, all the varieties of different assets there are, and then all the different ways to finance it and actually leverage your money so you could buy more, then just where to get the loan, how to write up the contract, and then finally at closing. But the best class was the last one, where I actually had a field trip and I took all the agents to properties that I already owned, and I would show them, you know, this is what I bought it for, these are the things I did to it to add value. So rather than just buying it and hoping it's going to go up, I forced appreciation. I built another unit in the back, creating a duplex, and I shared that with them. And it just, over the 10 years I taught the class, the community college, actually, when the economy went south, shut down their not-for-credit classes. And I'm actually starting that class up again in April next month. But it was an amazing, I probably made $3 million off that class.
$3 million?
Yes.
Well, you're not exaggerating, right? $3
million? No, I'm not.
What?
More than 300 home sales came from that class.
Wow. From teaching a class on how to invest in real estate.
Yes.
Wow.
And several of the people, and see, this was my focus. When I got into real estate, why would I spend all my money advertising for a homeowner that is going to buy a home from me and go away for 7 years? If I buy, you know, find an investor and I do a good job and make them money on their house, they're going to be looking for another house and another house and another house. And so I built my whole entire business, you know, all the way for the first 6 years was 100% investors.
Well, this is a great segue into, you know, how you got your start in real estate. And so for you, you leverage your expertise as a teacher, educator, and, you know, by profession, you were an engineer, right, working for Texas Instruments. So I guess that's where that desire to teach and to understand or to explain things came into play, right?
It falls in with always wanting to help people. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I would always look for ways to help people. And again, it might have been something to get attention when you're a younger child, but it, you know, it was just the way that my family was raised. And when we got our first allowance, my mom would sit down and show you the work you did. She equated the work with the money, but then she also, you know, the first thing she did, okay, here's how much you got. Let's take 10% out and give that to the church, and then we're going to put 50% away for college, and then 40% is what you get to spend. You didn't get to carry it around in your pocket. It was in a coin purse in the cabinet and kind of up high where you had to get on a chair to get it, but it was your your money. You could take it out. You just had to write down what you spent it on. So, you know, this willingness to help started. I mean, I clearly remember going to church on Sunday and having six little hands putting envelopes in the collection basket every Sunday. I mean, that's just the way I was raised.
Well, that's great. So out of desire to help others and to really just please your parents, right, and doing what they wanted you to do in terms of saving money and managing your money. And it's great that your mom would actually sit down and really show you how you have earned the money she was giving you, the allowance, and then what you were going to do with that money. I guess you've kept that all your life, right?
Correct.
So, Bob, you were teaching, and was this when you were full-time in real estate, or was this while you were working and doing real estate? When did you make the transition to full-time real estate agent?
We transferred to Tucson. I was looking for more rental homes because I'd sold the ones I had before we moved. And when my wife and I did get our real estate license, the first year I sold three homes. And I kind of cheated. Two of them were to me. So the whole first year, I only had one client. And it was a guy that I worked with at Raytheon. So the second year, I'm still full-time working 12-hour days. And the second year, I sold 10 homes. And three were to me, but I actually got seven clients that year. And the third year is where the wheels just, you know, came off. And I sold 26 homes. And this was working full-time 12-hour days at an engineering job. And when you look at what the average agent across the United States sells to a year because of so many part-time people, 26 from a part-time person is pretty substantial. And that's where I made the decision to leave my job. And, you know, it's a tough, the second largest employer in Tucson, Arizona is Walgreens. So, I mean, Raytheon is by far the biggest employer, private employer, other than the college and the Air Force Base and the government jobs. But, you know, to just walk away from a $100,000 a year job to think I can do better in real estate. And, you know, in hindsight, doing that in 2002, if I would have known what the market had coming, don't know if I would have done it. But my wife, I went out and I worked for another year selling homes. And I went back the following year to get my wife. And it just happened to fall on her 40th birthday. Well, I mean, it didn't happen. I planned it that way. But I had actually called her boss, who I knew from working at the same company, and I quit for her. And I gave 2 months' notice, but you can't tell Camille. So she would come home just frustrated as all get out. I think Sue's trying to replace me. She's making me train all these people to do my job. And it was just really funny and rewarding. And her parents flew in from Texas, and, you know, we rented a limousine, and I went out and had it waiting in the parking lot when she got off work on her birthday. And I had a friend call and ask her out for, you know, to go to a happy hour with her to celebrate her birthday. And we had a whole limousine full of people waiting for her in the parking lot. It was pretty fun.
Man, Bob, that is great. So you're telling me that, let me get this right, you called her boss, obviously having worked there, you had a relationship there with her
yes.
boss, and told her a month early that she was retiring or quitting.
Yes.
And without her knowing that you had that conversation, and did you even let her know that she was going to be retiring or quitting in 30
no.
days? You did not. So she's all frustrated about what her boss is doing, having to cross-train people like she's going to be replaced. How funny is that? I can only imagine the conversations you must have had with her in the evenings from work. And then on that 40th day, her birthday, you pull up with a limo, all her friends, and what was her reaction then?
It's one of three times in her life I've seen her cry. So, I mean, it was fantastic. I think everybody's eyes were wetter than hers. It was just, I mean, she was just kind of in shock. Like, what are you doing here? And her parents, you know, they're from Texas. And
right.
why are you here? And,
right.
you know, it was just really, really fun.
So, Bob, I really want to make clear on this picture you're painting for us, because you started in real estate working full-time at Raytheon. You were putting in 12-hour days. And your first year, you sold how many properties?
The first year was three.
Three, and two of those were to yourself.
Correct.
Your second year?
It was 10.
10. Now, again, that's pretty fantastic. 10 properties while working, and you're still putting in 12-hour days at Raytheon.
Correct.
Your third year?
26.
26 properties. Now, Bob, give us an idea. In your third year, how much money were you making? I mean, this was what year? This is what, 2002. Okay.
I actually made more on my real estate sales than I did on my engineering job. That's why I quit.
Wow.
If I can make more in my hobby than my full-time job, why do I need my job?
So in 2006, that was your third year?
2002 was my third year.
2002 was your third year. You had sold 26 transactions, and that was the signal. It was time to make the transition. What was your position at Raytheon, and how long had you been with the company?
I was a program administrator for the Joint Standoff Weapon, and at that point, I'd been with the company for 22 years, including the time, you know, they bought the division from Texas Instruments, so
right.
Technically with Raytheon, they did that purchase in 97, but it was the same job, same, you know, employment, just they purchased it into Raytheon.
Now, are you sure those tears, Bob, weren't tears of anger?
Oh, no.
Because here you're quitting your job, and then you're having her quit. What, have you lost your mind? A 22-year job as a program administrator with the largest employer in the area? Bob.
Eric, let me tell you something. Within 3 years of Camille's, first of all, we started our company 3 months after her last day. I mean, it's just getting the LLC set up and the real estate company and our licenses and our broker training and everything. And within 3 years of opening our company, we were actually giving more to charity than we used to gross or take home from our jobs. So, I mean, there's absolutely no looking back. And we kind of hit the peak. I mean, 2004, we did almost 20 sales more because I was at it full time. 2005, that was the first full year that I had Camille with me, just working out of our house. All this time, we didn't have an office. We just worked from our home. And we sold 52 homes that year, and that's, you know, one every week with no assistance, no help, no anybody, just a house every single week. But they didn't come evenly. I mean, I'm just a natural salesperson. I don't ever sell. I've never sold a house. The houses sell themselves. Basically, you find a way to help people, and the money follows. I've never sold a home to earn a commission. But when we hit this impasse was we were just totally, you know, taxed out. Camille actually was a lender, so I was... And those 52 sales were almost, well, they were all my sales, and she was helping with some of the back paperwork, and then she was doing the loans for, you know, at least 25% of those. So it was a very profitable venture, and like I said, we had absolutely no overhead at all. And that's where we had no life at all either.
Okay. I was going to ask you about that, but before we go into that direction, I want to be clear on this whole transition. You're telling me that when you retired Camille and you guys were both full-time in real estate, you were operating out of your home, closing 52 deals a year?
Yes.
That's incredible, man. And you had no assistant?
No assistant, no coach, no anybody.
No coach? How about a receptionist?
In 2005, we went to a Craig Proctor coaching conference. And this was one of the three times I saw Camille cry because I'm one of these, I can do that kind of, I'm going to take that home and do it myself. I don't need their help. And she just made a statement to me that made total sense. She said, "Don't you think with Craig helping us that we could sell two extra houses a year because that's all it would take to pay for his coaching every week, multiple times a week, all year long?" And I couldn't argue with that. It made too much sense.
So you signed up that day probably for Craig.
Yep, we signed up. And we hired an assistant. That was the first thing that we did and, you know, took the load off and started training. It takes time since you've been doing everything yourself to write the training. You can't give someone else a job until you show them how to do it and give them the way you want it done. So, I mean, that takes time. It took about a year to get it all set up and running. But the following year, we increased our sales by 15. We went to 67. And in 2007, we hit 80 sales. And by that time, we had three people on our team. We had a transaction coordinator, my original assistant, and then we had a listing manager to carry all the, you know, to put all the MLS input and coordinate with the sign companies and everything. So with three employees, we closed 80 that year. But that was the freedom that freed me up. And what happened in 2007 is all the houses stopped selling and everybody was lowering their prices. And I called one of my clients and said, "Hey, the same floor plan as you have on the same exact street just sold for $20,000 less than we have your home listed for." And he said, "I can't sell for that. I would have to bring money to closing." And that is when a big bell went off in my head. It's like, oh my God, we are headed for trouble. So I, you know, knowing what I got out of coaching, I actually went to the next coaching conference and I networked with a lot of the people there. And there was an agent from Las Vegas, Nevada, Brian Pelican, who shared that he had been approached by Countrywide to sell their homes. And he kind of filled everybody in on what the, you know, the lingo was, you know, the BPO. Nobody had ever heard of a BPO. And there's this thing called cash for keys. And, you know, so we all learned this back in 2007. And I just started researching online every single real estate conference I could go to. I went to 22 conferences in 2008. But I had a record going for almost 3 years that I never went to a conference without coming home with a new account. And we got over 50 different vendors that we started working for over the next 3 years. In 2008, we sold 285 homes. So we went from 80 to 285.
Wow.
And then in 2009, we went to 502. In 2010, 641. 2011 started to slow down a little, 622. And then last year, the REO dried up, but we still closed 330 houses.
Bob, congratulations on just...
Thank you.
Geez, that's phenomenal success. And it began with attending the Craig Proctor Seminar and then networking with Craig Proctor Seminar Knights, we'll call it,
right.
Those who were all, you know, participating in that type of coaching, learning about what was happening in the marketplace, and then you got on a plane and start conference jumping, if you will. 22 in 1 year, that's a lot of conferences. You
yes, it is.
Clocked a lot of miles and spent a lot of money. What would you say you invested in attending conferences and traveling that year?
2008 was right at $40,000.
Wow, $40,000 in attending conferences. But the number of transactions, I mean, you went from 2007, I believe you said it was 80-something transactions.
80.
80 to 2008, how many again?
285.
285 transactions. And that's a result of actually going out to the conferences, meeting with the lenders and getting accounts. And you said you never went to a conference without signing up and getting with a lender, right?
Right. And I never, ever... I mean, how do you, I'm not a impressive looking person. I'm not a fancy dresser. I mean, I put on a suit, but I'm not some snazzy dresser. What I did was I actually went to them and I showed them one chart. And the chart just showed, here's how much inventory is listed for sale, and this is how much sold last month. And at that point in time in 2008, we actually had several months that were right between 6 and 8% of all the homes being sold. So when I would show them, you go to the conference and they say, oh, yeah, go ahead, put your card in the fishbowl, and we'll, you know, if we ever need anybody, we'll give you a call. And so I would say, great, thanks. And, hey, I brought some charts to show you. Can I show you what's happening in Tucson? And I would pull out this chart that showed that 8% of the homes had sold, and I'd turn it upside down, and not the chart, but the number. And I would say, that means 92% of them didn't sell. Would you be comfortable with a 92% failure rate? And people say, well, no. Then I would pull out my next chart and it says, can I show you my close rate? This is an MLS printout. It shows right here that I have 42% of my listed properties under contract right now. And they would just look at me and say, how do you do that? And it's like, oh, it's easy. I market mine.
That simple. I market mine. That was your response.
Yes. And I, you know, and then they start asking questions. And what was really funny would be they'd ask me for a card. And, you know, I was so tempted to say, well, it's in the fishbowl. You know, I would just always give them another card. And these are the ones that the people would take out their pen and put a big star on and then put in their front pocket. And I knew that I was in.
Wow.
I got, you know, accounts with Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Wells Fargo. I mean, just every major bank that there was out there just by showing them basically that they needed me.
Well, Bob, the market has changed. And when we come back from our commercial break, we want to find out, what are you doing? You built a business, first of all, teaching and inspiring people to invest in real estate through classes. And you got your volume up to 80 units, about approximately 88 sales in 2007. Then you got into the REO business and it just blew up on you. Now, the REO business has blown up, if you will, and things are getting back to normal and the inventory is all dried up. And so what are you doing now as you see another change taking place? That's what we want to learn from you and talking about, you know, your experience now. You've talked about the beginning, how you got started. Tell us what your experience has been in this transition period we've all seen take place from about 2010 to now. We've seen a major change in the marketplace. Hang in there, folks. We'll be right back with Bob Zachmeyer on the Power Agent Spotlight. Hello, everybody. This is Eric Frazier. I just want to take a minute to tell you about the great things that are happening on The Power Is Now. Did you know that The Power Is Now has programming that takes place every single day? That's right. Every single day, there's a show playing on The Power Is Now. And not just one show, but shows throughout the day, every single day. There's an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show. There's a 12 o'clock show, a 3 o'clock
and a 5 o'clock show. We even have a 7 o'clock show every single day, folks. You can catch some great information right here on The Power Is Now. Just go to thepowerisnow.com and click under Live Show. You'll see whatever's playing at that time. You'll hear it right there on The Power Is Now. Whatever is playing throughout the day will be on the live show. And if there's a particular show you want to listen to, just go to the past shows, or to the Power Agent Spotlight, or the Real Estate Resource, or The Power Is Now Breaking News. Folks, The Power Is Now is just jam-packed with great information for real estate professionals and consumers. And I want to encourage you to tune in every day and listen to all the shows. There are over 160 shows that have been recorded on The Power Is Now, all about real estate, empowering real estate agents with information, empowering consumers with information, information that is relevant, information that is current, information that they can use. The Power Is Now. Remember, we are at our best and we maximize our success when we act now. That's what The Power Is Now is all about. And that's why we have this information playing every single day on The Power Is Now radio. Please go to thepowerisnow.com and like on us. In fact, go to LinkedIn and connect with me, Eric Frazier, and The Power Is Now. We're also on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. We're all over the social media. And of course, on Facebook, you can even listen to our podcast on Facebook, because we make sure that we notify those of you who are following us on Facebook every week with the upcoming shows. Well, that's it for now. We hope you'll continue to listen to The Power Is Now and tell others about it. Thank you for listening today on The Power Is Now. And we're back. For those of you who are just joining us, I'm talking to Bob Zachmeyer, agent extraordinaire out of Tucson, Arizona. And man, has he had an incredible career, starting with engineering and being a program administrator with Texas Instrument, transitioning to Raytheon and retiring his wife and starting the business full time. And it's just been all success, folks. And it doesn't appear there's ever been a dark cloud in Bob's life, but I'm sure there has been some challenges. And Bob, when we left on our last commercial break, you were talking about how your volume went from 80-something to the 200s and then 500s. What was the peak in your career as an REO agent?
Well, there's two peaks. The peak number of sales was in 2010 at 641.
Okay.
The peak where I made the most money was in 2008 at 285. 285 sales, I made more money, over $200,000 more than I did in 2010 with 600 sales.
So what was the difference? What made the difference in terms of the income?
The price point, for one. I mean, we're in a market that 4 years in a row dropped more than $30,000 median sale price. So, you know, just, I'm not going to price fix or anything, but let's just pick a number, 3, 4, 5, whatever your average commission might be. Let's just say if I was working for a 3% average with a bank, and now the average sale price dropped by $30,000, that means every house I sell, I make $900 less.
Yeah.
Than doing the same exact work the year before. Okay, then next year comes, and now it's $900 less than that. And now another year comes, and it's $900 less than that. That happened 4 years in a row. And, you know, my expenses did nothing but go up. I mean, they didn't go down. As our volume increased, you had to keep hiring employees. And, you know, there's a threshold where you can get, you know, a certain number of transactions out of an employee, then you need another one. You need another one in your offer department, in your transaction department, in your REO department. At one time, I had 5 people working in my REO department, just basically playing whack-a-mole with all the emails that came in. You know, they'd come in and we'd whack them down, and, you know, I had 5 people responding and forwarding things and uploading, you know, tasks and, you know, from the inspections, and it was just crazy. But the affordability of, you know, my profits, you know, kept going lower and lower because the sale price went down. And then we started to see drastic commission cuts across the board where, you know, the banks all lowered their commission rate, and it's still going on. And then they keep adding more tasks. You know what? The utility bill isn't enough anymore. Now we want to actually see a photo of the water running and a photo of the light bulb burning. And, you know, most people fall for this, and I'm not a free security guard. And that's basically what you're doing. So I've had to tell several of the clients that we work with for many years that I couldn't work for them anymore. It's kind of sad that agents have just become a number, and let's see how much we can squeeze out of these people. And there's a lot of good folks out there that are just starving to death right now. And you got to get out of the REO. And the funny thing is, you go to a conference, and everybody says, how can I get more? How can I get more? And it's like, you don't want more.
Right. So, Bob, tell me, as your business grew up, blew up, if you will, to the 600 range, but yet your income per transaction was dropping because of values and cost and everything else. What was actually happening with your expenses? Because you were trying to provide service to these institutions who are providing you product, and you can't do all the work yourself. Well, how many people did you get to total, and what was that as a percentage or ratio? I mean, how much of your income was going just to trying to keep the business going so that you could manage REOs for the banks?
At one point in 2009, I'm going into 2010, we had accounting couriers and my bookkeeper and accounts receivable staff and everybody. We were actually at 31 employees, W-2 employees.
31. So I can only imagine the money that was needed to pay for all that. I can only imagine.
Right. We had in 2009, our payroll was more than $1 million.
That's incredible. So you built this machine to handle all this REO business, and yet the banks and financial institutions that are providing this business for you are making it more and more difficult and paying you less and less. So what's your position today now? I mean, do you still do REOs? Are you just kind of moving away from the business altogether?
No, I still do them, and there's actually clients that are still awesome to work with. If a client tries to cheat me out of my reimbursed expenses, I have an authorization from them to go have a septic tank pumped, and I spend $800, and then they come back and try to find a way not to pay me for that, I'm not going to do business with that person anymore. Because trust is such a big part of this. It was such a team effort. When this huge onslaught of REOs started heading toward the banks, there were very, very few people in the beginning who, like me, took the time to go learn what it took and paid for the training to go find out how to sell REO properties and got on airplanes and left their families and stayed in hotel rooms. I've had more than 200 nights in a Marriott in the last 4 years. I mean, that just tells you how much I was gone. But, you know, now the banks were welcoming, oh my gosh, you know how to sell REO here. You know, but now it's like, well, what will you do for it? Well, it's like a limbo almost. How low will you go? You know, and then, you know, just the abuse that you get. You know, everything is, you know, when somebody else in your market claims you didn't present their offer or something like that, and all of a sudden you're getting fired, and it's like, wait a minute, here's the email that I sent you with this offer, and here's your response back. You didn't want it. You know, it's like you're guilty before proven innocent with a lot of these people. And, you know, unfortunately, in the industry, a lot of the people who worked in it have been, you know, they were elevated to rock star status. And, you know, they're still out there. You can't work with that, you know, better than you kind of attitude. And, you know, I'm still a very down-home, you know, honest person. What you see is what you get. I put on airs, and I just really don't appreciate people that treat other people with disrespect, no matter what their situation.
Well, Bob, it sounds like you've always been in a position where you choose who you're going to do business with, and you're not going to be abused or suffer insults or lack of trust or people operating in bad faith. You're just not going to do business with them. Let me ask you, spending 294 nights in a Marriott over the last 4 years, all that time away from your family, all the money you invested, seeing what has happened and where we are today, was it worth it? Would you do it all over again, knowing then what you know today?
Oh, yes. There's very few things in my life I would do differently. But, I mean, this was a necessity. REO, for me, I mean, like I say, I still sell for banks, and I don't want this to be coming across as I'm exiting the business, because I'm not. I think I'll have REO business, you know, pretty much as long as I'm in real estate, because I've built relationships during that time. But keep in mind, back in 2007, when we got into this, there was nothing selling. I mean, if you didn't have an REO account, you weren't selling houses. And so, I mean, I did what was necessary to go get them. And I also found a gentleman that used to be a chief loss mitigator at a bank, and he had a short sale training course. And I spent $20,000 on that course in 2007. Before most people even knew what a short sale was, I'd learned from the best of how to do them. So, I mean, this is so important. Not work harder necessarily, but work smarter. And, you know, you got to think of it as an investment. And any conference is an investment. So I don't turn on my television the whole time I'm in my hotel. I am there to work. And it's actually in 2008, I was kind of bored with all the airplane travel and everything. I've been poking around at this book, you know, since 2002. And I finally got my first book published on how to invest in real estate. Now, keep in mind, this is 2008 after the market had collapsed and there's no loans for investors and everything. I'm putting putting out a book on how to invest. You know, it wasn't a very, very smart move. I mean, I could have sold tons of books, you know, prior to that. So that's where I learned timing is everything. I was sitting at a REO Expo in 2010 in Dallas, Texas. I was in my hotel room in June. I woke up one morning at 5 in the morning, and I just thought to myself, you know, how many people have grown their business 1,000% in the last 3 years? And, you know, I have a snapshot in time that I can put this out there and help other people, you know, get accounts, train their staff, recruit new agents, do all this stuff. So I laid out a book. I knew I couldn't take 6.5 years on it. So I gave myself a very aggressive schedule, which was 30 days. And I woke up every morning at 5 in the morning, and I worked on my book from 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock every morning, just focused effort, no interruptions, no phone calls, just writing. And I didn't try to write a book. I wrote a topic, and I just would brain dump. Right when you wake up in the morning is when your protective side that wants to correct all your sentences and keep away from hot burners, that hasn't woke up yet. So basically, you just brain dump and get all this stuff out. You can edit it later. I wrote a chapter every day, and I actually finished 4 days early. I was done in 26 days. It took about 6 weeks of editing, and 3 months later, I had a book called Sold on Change. And it was surprising how well that book went over. I've never really made a lot of huge money selling it. I mean, I've sold a couple thousand copies, but that became my business card at conferences. Everybody else, there's 6,000 real estate agents trying to follow guys into the bathroom and put their business card in their pocket. And I would just talk with these guys, and they said, "Do you have a card?" And I would say, "Well, this is kind of my card," and I hand them the book, and they're like, "Oh my God, you wrote a book?" It just elevated, you know, on a credibility scale, unbelievably high. And then, you know, the funny thing that started happening when in 2010, the conferences that I had been paying money to go to were all of a sudden asking me to come speak at them. It was just funny. It's like, wow, that's a good savings. Probably made more money on saved conference fees than I did selling books. But I want to, as long as we're on the book topic, I want to follow on. I do have a third book that came out last year, and this one I'm actually the most proud of. It's called A Daily Difference, and it just went all the way back to my childhood of how just helping others, integrating charitable works into your business can just take your business off the charts. In 2009, we were at NRBA conference up in Colorado, and they have a huge Make-A-Wish fundraiser and everything, and the NRBA supports the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And several of the people that I knew from Craig Proctor's coaching were in this group, and they were, you know, they had this auction, and we all threw in on several of the big, you know, high dollar auction items. And basically, we started a group then called REO for Kids. And we decided with 11 of us that we were going to start giving $100 from every asset that we closed. We figured foreclosures affect families, and so every foreclosed home that we sold, we were going to each donate $100 to a local kids charity in our community. And the group's grown. It went to 18 and then in the 20s, and we're just over, I think, 31 members right now. But we had a major, major milestone in December. We just crossed $1 million.
Wow. $1 million. And that represents $100 from every transaction, REO transaction, sold by this group.
Right. And that's how it started, was $100. You know, I have a fundraiser in Tucson every year where I just take, I search my computer for every file that I've created since the last one I taught. And in a year, I usually have between 400 and 500 slides. And I just share everything that I'm doing in the market with everybody else. And I charge $500, and I just tell them, hey, make your check out to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So we've had over 250 people fly to Tucson and stay here for our two-day event, and, you know, donated over $150,000 off that event to kids' charities. So it was pretty cool.
Well, Bob, that brings us to our third talking point, and that is your tactics and strategies for success. You mentioned in talking about the book and about integrating charities to in your business strategies. This obviously is a key driver for business and working with charities, and in this particular case, Make-A-Wish Foundation. So where did you get the idea to do this and to kind of combine charities with the business to drive business?
You know, when your market's falling and every year your expenses are higher and your income's lower, it's very easy to feel depressed. And, you know, a lot of people are almost destroyed right now financially just because of, you know, what happened. And when you reach out and help someone that is less fortunate than you are, you know, you have all these bills, and yes, I'm not making as much as I made last year, but when you meet a three-year-old kid with leukemia, I mean, your problems seem like nothing all of a sudden. So, you know, when you help others, it makes you feel more fortunate. And when you feel fortunate, you become fortunate. And I've always wondered how it worked. And honestly, it's probably in the last 6 months that it's just been an epiphany for me, that when you go out to help other people and spend your time on them, spend your money on them, it sends a message to your brain that more will come. You know, we can give this away, more will come. When you go to sleep at night, your subconscious is looking at everything that you did that day saying, hey, more's supposed to come. Is that it? Was that it over there? You know, it's just, and I wake up in the middle of the night with these awesome ideas. It's like the best thing that I ever do. And I've just noticed there's times I get busy and I don't get as involved and all my ideas stop happening.
Well, that's interesting that giving and, you know, getting involved in the lives of other people, and it does help you put in perspective how your problems rank in the world. But I think that you bring another interesting point, and that is that when you begin to give, the ideas start flowing because you give with the idea knowing that more will come. Give and it's going to come back to you.
Right. And when right now, you know, the market's changed and all the same market. I mean, it's especially in California, there's no homes for sale. So everybody thinks they switched by looking for buyers to looking for sellers. But what's kind of ironic is the best way to get sellers is to have buyers. I mean, you can make every promise in the book to a seller, but I guarantee you if I show up at their house with a listing contract and the loan letter and buyer broker agreement with the buyer who wants to buy their home, I'm going to walk away with that listing.
So, Bob, tell me about that. How do you do that? In the area, again, of tactics and strategies, you know, what are you doing to make the transition here to the new market we're in? And you mentioned earlier, too, that, you know, you're going to continue to stay in the REO business. You'll probably be in that business for as long as you are in the business. So give us an idea of where you're at in terms of your volume and say your listing volume right now. What do you have? What do you got going on right now?
To put it in perspective, at the peak, I had 312 listings, 312 signs in the ground. Currently, I have 57. I have 12 REOs. I went from over 300 to 12 REOs. But what I'm right now in escrow, we have 25 properties closing in March, which is going to put us right back above the 300 volume. And keep in mind, this is the slow part of the year, you know, as we build up for the summertime. So I'm very excited about, you know, we got back on track. But the biggest thing is in the last 2 months, I've taken what I average sale price last year and I've almost doubled it in 2 months. And that's by not having as many REOs in lower priced properties and marketing to areas where it's part of timing. If you look at when people bought their house, the people that bought in 05 probably can't sell yet because the market hasn't improved enough. But the people that bought in 2009 or 10 can sell. So, you know, that's part of what we're doing is targeting that. But I've just grown into a habit of walking around every day just listening for other people's problems. You know, the big problems right now that are facing real estate sellers, and that's what everybody's looking for is sellers, is you have the people that are upside down and they can't sell. And, you know, there's not enough money in your real estate commission, even if you reduced it totally, to even come close to helping them out of where they are. There's one out of every five people has either had a foreclosure or 90 days or more late heading toward a foreclosure. There's been 12 million foreclosures since 2005, and there's 14 million people right now that are behind on their mortgage by at least 90 days. So that's 26 million people. And when you look at the 315 million in this country and divide it by the 2.5 people per family, you're at 126. So basically 26 million out of the 126 million families are in the penalty box. They can't buy a house right now. So if you can find a way to help those people with bad credit get into a house, you know, you're going to be wildly successful. Then you've got the people that want to sell. They're not upside down, but they can only afford one mortgage at a time. They can't have two at the same time. And a lot of them are so afraid of, what if I sold and I can't find anything to buy? So they're kind of holding back. And if you can line them up with a program that allows them to buy and sell on the same day, that's drawn a lot of traffic. And then what about the people that just, you know, they have good credit, they have a good job, they went through bankruptcy, they just got divorced. What if they got an 800 credit score, but they just went through a divorce and now their attorney has all their money? You got to find programs. So I actually sat down and developed a program to help all those people. I put it in a listing presentation and I define it as the buyer pool. And I made it look like a big oval swimming pool. And then, you know, the MLS buyers are the buyers that have good credit. They have the resources to make a payment. They have the saved down payment money. And basically, they don't need any special circumstance. But the problem with the MLS buyers is they will never overpay for a house. If there's one cheaper, the same floor plan right down the street, they're going to buy that one. And also, the biggest problem is they rely on a loan, which requires an appraisal. And the appraisers, went in a market that's increasing sharply in value, appraisals always come into play because appraisers use a rearview mirror and all their, you know, they're looking backward in time, and as opposed to a broker price opinion, which looks forward in time. You know, I just think that there's a huge opportunity not going with Main Street sellers right now, mainstream. You know, find the people that have challenges and find a way to help them out of their challenge. Would you like an example of one of my programs?
Absolutely, Bob. You've got me excited thinking about the possible solutions that you have, each one of those scenarios. And I'm thinking, Bob, we need to do a show just on that listing presentation that you have that kind of addresses strategies for each person in those given situations. You called those are not the traditional market buyers, right? This is off-market buyers.
They're distressed sellers.
Oh, they're distressed sellers. That's right.
Right. Well, with buyers, I'm not really spending a lot of effort on buyers because I have enough listings where all you need to get a buyer is to have a house for sale. But, you know, I am looking, if I have a sale coming up, then I do market for buyers in that area. And I canvass the entire neighborhood with flyers. I do door hangers. I put up signs to draw traffic to that property before anybody knows which one it is. I mean, that's what, if you put a big sign, this house is coming up soon, nobody would call on it because they know it's that house. But when you put, there's a house coming up soon in this subdivision, everybody's like, well, which one? You create a buzz and they all raise their hand. And for my sellers, I have a guarantee that I will have an offer on your home in 98 hours or I will take my sign and go home. I mean, that's a pretty powerful. You can make all the promises in the world, but 98 hours is just over 4 days.
You're right. So have you ever had to take your sign and go home?
Sure. You'll never get any sales if you don't try.
That's true. That's true.
So the equity boost, there's a builder that I've done a guaranteed sale program with since 2006. And basically anybody that came into their new home subdivision, they would send that buyer to me to sell their home. Because if it didn't sell on the day that house was ready, I would buy the home. My wife and I actually did buy 7 of their properties so that they could close. I never let one not happen. Every single time we made it happen. So this builder came back to me in 2010 and he had a subdivision with 4 model homes and 3 spec homes that in a $500,000 neighborhood at a time where our median sale price here was about $110,000. And he came and said, you know, I just got to get rid of these. I'm losing about $35,000 a month carrying them and they just got to go. And, you know, I'll lower the price $40,000, $50,000 if I have to. What do you think? Would that do it? And I looked at him and I said, you know, I think you could lower your price $100,000 and your house just won't sell. And he just looked at me like, oh my God, I didn't know the market was that bad. And I said, it isn't that bad. I sold 3 of your homes last year and they all appraised for value. Why are you lowering the price? And he just looked at me with this puzzled look. He was, well, they're not selling. And I said, no, they're not selling, but lowering the price isn't going to fix it. And he just kept looking at me with this puzzled look. I said, look, who buys a $500,000 home? Is it a first-time buyer or is it a move-up buyer? And obviously, it's a move-up buyer. So the problem isn't the price of your home. The problem is they're upside down in the one they have. So what we worked out with him was we actually listed the home for as much money as he wanted to give me to reduce the price. That's what he paid me in commission. And then I took half of the commission, split it with the other agent, took the other half and went and paid off the buyer's house so they could buy his.
Now that is creative. Wow, Bob. That's a great strategy. And how many times did you do this?
The houses he couldn't get rid of, those 7 homes, we sold 3 of them in the first 10 days.
So I'm wondering now why all the builders in Tucson didn't line up behind him to do that same program with you.
Well, right now it's actually changed so bad they're starting to have lotteries again. You know, there's so few homes available because nobody's been prepping lots and anything for the 5 years. And now the inventory's down and a lot of the homes, I mean, just driving around, you see more deferred maintenance than I've ever seen. I mean, people that got big blue tarps over their roof just because they don't have the money to put on a new one.
Right.
So, I mean, it's going to take a while. The jobs number seems to be getting better, but the amount of money people's making, you know, people are making is not improving as great. And we are starting to see, you know, people from out of state, out of area come in. The hedge funds are really what's driving a lot of sales right now. And so that's a temporary thing that when they start selling is going to cause the same problem again. Because right now they're picking off. There's one company here out of Malibu, actually, that has purchased 265 homes in the last 12 months.
And they're out of Malibu, California?
Yes.
And they bought 265 homes there in Arizona?
Yes.
In the last, 12 months?
Yes. And there's other others. We have them in Florida and Massachusetts. I mean, they're all over the country, you know, and we were named in Forbes magazine in November of last year as the number one place in the United States to invest in real estate. And our market overcorrected, I mean, sharply. I mean, the median sale price went down $50,000 more than it should have. And last year, we saw a 23% increase in the median sale price. So I have a radio show here on Sundays, and I put that in perspective to people. You know, the median sale price went up $27,500. That's a 23% gain. But to put that in perspective, if you had a $12 an hour job, your house made more money than you did last year.
That's pretty funny. Actually, pretty sad at the same time.
Right. And then, you know, for buyers, a lot of sellers who think they're upside down and they can't sell don't ever call. So what if I contact them and get them to meet with me and show them how I can sell your house without doing a short sale? I am skipping over the short sale. I mean, even though I've been doing them for so long, it's still the same inefficiencies and illogical behavior that I found in the REO with many of the banks I terminated relationships with. And so basically, I would rather go fix a short sale than do a short sale. And my program, you know, if somebody's in a $250,000 house buying a $400,000, and I can take 5% of their sale price and go pay toward their house, that's $20,000 that I can pay off for them. And I'm the only guy in town that can sell their house because everybody else is telling them they got to wait for $20,000 more in appreciation.
Seems like a very simple solution, Bob. I mean, why isn't this idea catching on?
It takes a little work. You know, traditional real estate where buyers could get qualified for banks in markets where prices were going up, everybody had equity in their house.
Right.
So I'm told that back in 2007, Countrywide, as big as they were, only had 7 people in their short sale department. I mean, that's all they needed. Now they have like 25,000.
Right. So, Bob, give me some other examples of, in your book, this, is it a book or is this a presentation on the listing strategies for off-market sellers, if you will?
It's not a book. I mean, I teach it at my educational seminars to all the people that come, but no, I haven't put that one into a book, and I actually want to make a little money off of it before I give it to all my competitors.
Sure, I understand.
Not that the people listening are all competitors, and actually I teach a class on how to do short sales at the local real estate school to real estate agents in my community. And I can just tell you, if you aren't doing stuff like that, whenever you get into a transaction that goes a little sideways, and if you're an agent that's respected in the community for what you give, it's way easier to solve the problems. And I've had people come up and tell me that this is the best class I've ever taken. I've got 4 pages of notes. Why do you share so much with all of your competitors? And I just said, well, it takes 2 people to close every real estate transaction, 2 agents. And if I can train you to do it faster, that'll stop the prices from falling. And, you know, everybody makes more money. And they just like, wow, I never thought of that. But that's kind of my attitude for life, is the glass is always half full. I mean, there's plenty of room for more. And when you have a theory of abundance and a belief in abundance, you don't have to work with mean people. I mean, I tell people at my listing appointment that we have a cancellation guarantee. And if for any reason you're dissatisfied with my services, you can call us and we'll come out and take down our sign. But also, I just want you to know that that's a two-sided guarantee. And if you call my office and start swearing at my staff, we'll be out the next day to get the sign.
You actually have that conversation with your sellers?
Sellers, before we list. And it's really funny how well it works. They call and say, no, I'm not complaining. They're just like tiptoeing around issues and stuff.
Right. So you set the right expectations. So,
right.
Bob, you have to give me one more tip here, one more strategy for our audience and what you're teaching in this listing presentation, how to get sellers who are under distress to how to get them out of that situation. Well, give me another free tip here. We'll pay you later.
Well, I mean, the best way to get a seller is to have a buyer. So, I mean, literally, get out of your car and walk door to door and hand out flyers. And, hey, if you know of anybody that's looking to buy in this neighborhood, have them call me. You know, I've got a house coming up. And so now you get all these buyers and you get them all pre-qualified with their lender and they're ready to go and you get them signed up. When, you know, a lot of people don't want to sign a buyer broker agreement right now because there's so little inventory, they're afraid if they sign with one agent and another agent gets a house that they won't be able to buy that house because they're tied to the first agent.
Right.
So, you know, I've been marketing. I spend $10,000 a month on marketing. We send about 4,000 mailers out a month. We target places where we believe they're close enough to sell. You can hit expireds, and I actually send a message to expireds that just says, how would you like to sell your home for more than it was listed for? And they're all scratching their head like, what do you mean it didn't sell? But it makes them raise their hand and identify themselves. And that's the biggest, if there's a lesson to be learned in real estate, everybody gets out of school and looks around to see what all the other agents are doing, and then that's what they do. And there's so many things that have been carried on in this industry for decades that don't work. I don't know of any other profession other than Hollywood actors that put a glamour shot of themselves on their card. So who cares what you look like in high school? All they care about is getting their house sold or finding a house. I've never done image advertising. You find it hard to find my photo on anything that I do here locally. My programs are getting people to raise their hand. And when they say, how does that work? And then, you just lead in, it works really well. When can I sit down and show you how well it works? So, the phone conversation is giving them enough value to know that they want to work with you. And then, we get people, sellers, who want to know about this program. I say, I have time this afternoon or tomorrow morning. Which one works better for you? And they give me a time. And I say, great, my office is located at. I give them the address. And you would not believe maybe 1 out of 100 will push back and say, what? You're not going to come look at my house? So I have actually people driving to my office to list their homes.
You're kidding me, Bob.
No, it's because of the programs. I can get you more for your house than the last guy, that never got a single offer. How does that work? I mean, that's enough of an intrigue to get them to drive to me.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So this program that enables a seller to, on an expired listing, to be able to sell his house for more than what it was listed for.
Sure.
It's called the Bob Zachmeyer program.
Well, they're all variations. I mean, I learned the guaranteed sale program from Craig Proctor. And this program is basically sort of a hybrid. I get investors to fund. Do you have any elderly family members that have their money in a bank CD?
No, I do not.
Okay. I mean, my mom is 79 years old, and when the stock market took a dive 3 years ago, she got scared and took all her money out, and she's got some investments that are paying her less than 0.5% a year. So I put her in very safe, like on a $100,000 home, she might lend $60,000 to $70,000 in a first position mortgage at a 7% interest rate to a person that has bad credit. So then the person, I mean, we require them to bring at least 20% down, and it's amazing how fast people can find money. I had a call the other day, she'd heard on the radio that I could get people in that had sketchy credit, and she goes, well, my credit's not that great, so I want to buy a house. I said, great, how much money do you have? And she goes, well, I have $3,200. And I said, I don't know what neighborhood you're shopping or what the price point you're looking for is, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have a single investor that will carry you without at least $10,000 skin in the game. I mean, that's what these investors want to see. And she goes, well, I'm getting $4,200 back in taxes, and I could probably borrow $2,000 from my mom. I mean, the lady found $10,000 in like 10 seconds.
Well, that's great. Now she's going to be a homeowner. And these investors that you're talking about, this is private equity, private money that extending.
Yeah, it's mostly retired people that, and the way I talk to them is, they're earning 0.3% on a CD. And I just say, how would you like to go to the grocery store and get 20 bags of groceries instead of one for the same price? And you show them the commodity prices of what, sugar doubled in the last 12 months, coffee's twice as much. I mean, all these things that are going up, if you don't do something to get a better rate of return, you're going to be eating cat food.
Well, you're absolutely right. The market is changing. The economy is changing. But as you mentioned earlier, hedge funds are buying up a lot of the real estate, and eventually they'll start selling it. And that's going to have an impact on the market. When people who are making investments in properties, like investors who are lending people, when they may find themselves in a similar situation where property values start going the other way because too much inventory, really, in the marketplace.
It's not may. It will happen. I mean, you don't throw a big rock into a pond and have it make one splash and go flat again. I mean, you see ripples. And we're going to see, we overcorrected drastically. We're going to go past the middle. Pendulums don't stop in the middle until they've swung many, many times. So each time is not quite as far. So definitely right now we have less inventory for sale, and I know the same is true in the Los Angeles area. I coach several people around the country for Craig Proctor. But so this helps me keep my thumb on the pulse of what's going on. But there's less inventory available right now than there was back in 2005. So if you look at it, the prices are half as much as they were in 05, and the interest rates are half as much as they were in 05. So basically, you can buy a house for 70% less than what you would have paid for that same exact house in 2005.
Right.
So we are going to see actually higher demand this summer than we saw, and this is the hedge funds. There were no hedge funds sucking up everything in 05. So if you thought it was bad before, I mean, buckle your seatbelt. But the cool thing is we already know the when it turns down what to do, just dust off the playbook from the REO stuff. But I think we're in for a pretty good bump here for the next 3 or 4 years. And I really think the banks and hedge funds learned a big lesson from just dumping all the inventory at the same time on the market. And what's really neat about the hedge funds is they are not politically based. They are logically based. They're looking for the highest rate of return for their money. So a lot of the hedge funds I work with, they're doing out-of-the-box stuff. I mean, I know of one that the gentleman had been a carpenter and he was out of work. His truck didn't work and it had broken down. He didn't have the money to put a new engine in it. So for signing the house over and selling it in basically what was a short sale, they gave him $8,000 for a new pickup truck. And when you look at how much the bank would have lost in taking a year and a half to get that property in their hands and all the vandalism and all the damage that would have been done to that property, the hedge fund's way smarter. But I understand why the banks can't do it. They're publicly traded companies. And, I mean, if you do it for one person and you tell 10 people at the water cooler tomorrow, those 10 are going to tell 10. The next day it's 100. The next day it's 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, a million. I mean, in a week it's a million people wanting the same deal. So I totally get it. It's just logic is the way to solve people's problems. And if you can just walk around looking for people's problems, none of my programs are rocket science. It's just, what would you do if it was your money? That's why you got to think.
Finding a way to solve problems is how to create a business, right? That's how to create any
right.
business. If you're solving someone else's problem or you are creating time for someone who doesn't have time, you just found yourself a great business. We want to take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about your advice and words of encouragement for agents who are new in the business, just getting started. You had an interesting start for agents who are successful but at risk because they're not thinking like you are outside the box and getting creative. And then there are many agents out there who are discouraged and ready to give up. And you talked about 30,000 agents just alone in your area. Licenses are now inactive. When we come back, folks, we're going to wrap up this call with Bob Zachmeyer and get some real advice. Hopefully you can use and you'll take back with you to your office and to your friends in real estate. We'll be right back right after this commercial break. Hello, everybody. This is Eric Frazier, host of The Power Is Now online radio. If you're looking for a real estate agent, well, you have come to the right place. One of the benefits of being a lender for 31 years and closing billions of dollars in volume and thousands of transactions in my career is that I've had the honor to meet and work with and personally know some of the best agents in the country. Seriously, folks, sitting in this seat as the host of The Power Is Now and being a mortgage banker for 31 years specializing in purchase transactions has afforded me the opportunity to meet and work with some of the best people, the most extraordinary real estate professionals in the industry. I am amazed at the talent out there in the real estate community, and I want you to know who these people are, and I want you to hire them as your trusted advisor. The VIP agent on The Power Is Now is a trusted advisor. Folks, you just can't write a check to The Power Is Now and become a VIP agent. It is by invitation only, and there is a vetting process and certification. A VIP agent is an experienced real estate professional that has the education, credentials, and closed transaction experience and the endorsement of The Power Is Now online radio. Why is it so important that you use a trusted advisor? Well, typically a trusted advisor is someone who has been referred to you, and they, that referrer, has personal knowledge and experience of working with that person. We do this all the time when it comes to medical challenges, our doctors, our attorneys who deal with our legal challenges, our accountants who deal with IRS and tax matters. We want experienced people, and we want them ideally referred to us by someone who knows them and has worked with them. Well, folks, that's what a VIP agent is, a trusted advisor endorsed and personally known by yours truly, Eric Frazier. The
The Bowers Now Online Radio is committed to providing our listeners access to the very best real estate agents in their marketplace. We want to save you time and money to find a great, reputable real estate agent. There are thousands of you out there who are listening to this show every single month, and we want to make sure that you benefit from this show by not only learning great things about real estate, but working with the very people we bring on this show and that we have selected to be VIP agents. VIP agents have certifications and experience in all aspects of selling real estate and representing buyers in traditional sales, short sales, REOs, business opportunities, commercial real estate, and even more. And again, these individuals have been interviewed, have been vetted, and they are endorsed by the Powers Now. The VIP agent certification process involves a verification of their license status within their state, a criminal and civil background check in case there's any type of litigation going on with that agent, you should know about it, verification of their standing in the local board, verification of their experience through verifying closed transactions in their local MLS, verification of references from closed transactions, and acceptance of the Powers Now Code of Ethics. VIP agents, trusted advisors, endorsed and certified by the Power Is Now. Consider using a VIP agent on your next transaction. And if you would like for me to make a personal introduction, please reach out to me. Contact me directly here on the Power Is Now, and I'll be happy to introduce you personally to every VIP agent that you want to work with in the given market if you're an investor, or in your neighborhood if you're a homeowner and you're looking, or a buyer looking to buy something where you live. I'll be happy to make a personal recommendation, a personal connection with you and the VIP agent. Have an awesome day. Thank you for listening to the Power Is Now Online Radio. And we're back. Folks, if you've been with us all this time with Bob Zachmeyer, I hope you've been taking notes. But if you haven't, thank God this call is being recorded and you'll be able to listen to it. In fact, not only listen to it, but I highly suggest that you send the link out to your friends and fellow agents in the business. And of course, if you are a real estate investor, if you are a future buyer, if you are a seller, you really should consider looking up Bob Zachmeyer. In fact, all of his contact information is on our website, thepowersnow.com, on the Thursday live show. All of Bob's information is there. Reach out to him, because certainly he is the man in Arizona if you want to sell your home or you want to buy a home. Bob, in the break, you were telling me how you come up with all these ideas, and you make an investment in your time in the morning to work on your business. Share with me, or with our audience, a little bit more about this discipline you've developed over years where it makes you so full of ideas.
Sure. As I said earlier, the most creative side of your brain, the left side of your brain, is what keeps you breathing all night long. And, you know, your right side that counters everything and challenges everything isn't awake yet. So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I come in and I create something. And every morning I spend 2 hours. And this is where these huge, you know, 400, 500 slide presentations over 2 days come from. It's just the things that I create during that 2 hour window in the morning. And I take pride that every year the presentation is different because the market's changed and this is the way that I've addressed it. And I've trained myself to mentally, when I come up with an idea, I mentally transform myself into the buyer, the seller, the investor, you know, all the stakeholders, the neighbors, you know, everybody, to see who is being harmed, what are they feeling, what's, you know, the buyers, short sale buyers, the biggest fear that they have is that people are going to find out. So that's where I came up with my 98-hour offer. I mean, how much easier can you get? I have a television commercial that says, just text your address, and it's got a picture of a phone texting their address, and your house will be sold in 98 hours. I mean, it can't get any easier than that. And it actually says, to sell your house in one showing, you know, text your address. And with a short sale, I have that many people lined up that I can actually get an offer in one showing and easily in 98 hours. I mean, really, the reason I went with 98 is because it's a screwball number. Everybody says, well, you know, 96 is 4 days. What's the extra 2 hours for? And I just said, because it made you call. I mean, just like a few years ago, the economy was scary. Everybody, you know, was worried about their job and they're all downsizing. I was watching a television commercial, and I don't watch that much TV, but this one was a Hyundai commercial. And it says, if you lose your job, Within 1 year of buying our car, we'll make your payment for up to 3 months for you. And I thought, that is amazing. And I got on the internet and I tracked down and I actually found the guys that did that program for Hyundai. And I had them make that program for real estate. And now there's 7 of my friends that are using it in different states across the country. But it's a job loss protection program that basically, you know, gave people the security to move forward at a shaky time. And this is when you can create things like this that make people, first of all, I just knocked everybody else out of the equation. That, you know, for these people that are scared of their job, no other agent offers this. And I created it.
Bob, that is really, again, another innovative idea. You are an expert in marketing, not just in selling real estate, but in marketing. You should be looking at other things that you can sell your creative ideas to other companies. I mean, wow, that's a great idea.
Well, thank you. And I actually, marketing, you know, like I said, I guarantee you that Home Depot came about because somebody's wife went to a lumber yard and was treated poorly by these smart alecky, know-it-all kind of men. And that's where Home Depot came from. And so, I mean, it's just, if you can provide a solution, but in order to get that solution, to understand the problem, you got to get down in the trenches and understand, talk to people. I mean, just go market. And, you know, if I was a new agent, first of all, I would be combing the news for all kinds of articles and have a repertoire of articles and then send it out to your people. I actually have business cards made up in my office and they're blank with only 5 lines on each side. And I give them to my agents every week. And, okay, these are the 5 people I'm going to sell a home to next. And then you turn it over. These are the 5 people I'm going to add to my sphere of influence this week. So I just tell them, if you do this every week, at the end of a year, you'll have more than 250 new people that you've met. At the end of 4 years, you have 1,000 people on your email, you know, that are following you. And you're just writing down the names of the people that you're going to sell to. And then the important part is putting it in your front pocket. That's where your keys are, your coins are, your chapstick. I mean, you probably reach in your pocket 30, 40 times a day. And every time you touch that card, you're going to think of what's written on that card. And what's on the top of your mind becomes what you think about comes about.
You're so right. Bob, are you leveraging social media at all? Facebook, Twitter? Do you do anything with that?
I do have a Facebook account. I do not have a Twitter account. I do have a LinkedIn account. Honestly, I rarely have time to do all the things that are required. I do have a full-time marketing person who keeps up on some of that stuff. But honestly, just I find that referrals is by far the best way to get, you know, people don't call you to interview you with a referral. They call you to list with you. And, you know, it's just so great to get a phone call from somebody that says, hey, I want to list my house. And then, like I said, I get them to come to my office to show all the stuff and why they should have this price. And, you know, right now there's a lot of Facebook, and I'm not downing those. I know a lot of people that make a lot of money doing that stuff, but I spend my money on the radio, and I don't do any print advertising anywhere, just the radio. And aside from referrals and neighborhood flyers and signs, the radio is where I spend my marketing money.